Once again, friend, we give you a hearty welcome. So grateful to the Lord for giving us one more opportunity of visiting Spanish Wells to add one more chapter to priceless memories over the many years. The Lord is good. Shall we turn, please, to three scriptures tonight? First, in John's Gospel, chapter 3, a very, very familiar verse. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and reading verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Second scripture, in the Revelation, chapter 22. Revelation, chapter 22, and reading verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Final scripture in chapter 20 and verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Lord will bless again the reading from his precious word. I'd like to look with you tonight at three whosoevers. Three whosoever. John's Gospel chapter 3, we have the whosoever of deliverance. Revelation 22, the whosoever of delight. And then the final scripture, in chapter 20, the whosoever of destruction. The speaker here is the Lord Jesus, and when he speaks, we should listen carefully to what he says. And there are five great things in this verse, John 3:16. More people be saved through John 3:16, I believe, than any other verse in all the Bible. It has a special appeal because the speaker is the Lord Jesus. The first great thing is, we have a great God. For God, he is a great God. When Naaman, captain of the host of Syria, came up out of those waters of Jordan, his leprosy God. He says, now I know that there is no God in all the earth like the God of Israel. We sometimes sing, great God of wonders, all thy ways display thine attribute divine. But the bright glories of thy grace above thine other wonder shine. Who is a pardoning God like thee, who has grace so rich and free. My wife and I were traveling along a street in Worcester, Massachusetts, and this large truck was coming toward us, and above the cabin was the word G-O-D. G-O-D. As we passed this truck, the large van, on the side of the truck was guaranteed overnight delivery. You were able to thank the Lord right there that the Lord guarantees immediate delivery. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The Lord Jesus is the speaker, and he directs us tonight to look at the great God. Secondly, in this verse, we see the great goodness. For God so loved the world. Sometimes saying, why did he ever love me so? There was nothing in us to merit the love of God. The scripture says all have sinned and come short of God's glory. The scripture says there's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. We're all as an unclean thing. Nothing in us to merit the love of God. But he certainly loved the unlovable, and he loved you and me. And we're able to comprehend with all the saints, those who are saved, the breadth and the length, and the depth and the height of the love of God. The breadth of God's love is for everyone. It is universal. It's for all who will repent. The length of God's love is from eternity to eternity. And the depth of God's love that sent his Son down to the cross. And the height of God's love has exalted him to the highest pinnacle in glory. Oh, the goodness of God toward you and me. The third great thing is the gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Dr. Harry Ironside says, God actually pauperized heaven to give us heaven's rest. Oh, that you and I would take time out tonight, all of us, and be able to say with the apostle, thanks. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The gift of God's love. Notice, friend, the grace, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That grand word, whosoever, keeps ringing in our soul. That word, whosoever, is very, very embracing, is directed to every individual, whosoever. Some years ago, I had a cousin from Glasgow, Scotland, and she was in the forces, the Territorial Army, in England. She married a man in London, and then I knew that she had emigrated to Canada. I wasn't too sure of the location. My colleague and I were heading for Toronto to a gospel meeting. One of the elders, Mr. Ken Beasley, went into a store that my cousin and her husband owned, a food store. He threw a brochure onto the table, and he says, Mary, we're having gospel meetings. Would you be interested? She says, I might. She was a believer, but she married this man who was not a believer. And then she opened up the brochure, and there was my picture. She says, that's my cousin. I'll be out. Mary came out that night with her husband, George, and he came to the Savior. I said to them, bring the two children out to the meeting. And George Jr., 18 years of age, came to the meeting. He says to his mom, don't ever ask me to go back to such a place as this. She was quite shattered. He came home from school next day, high school, 18 years of age, and he had his shower and was dressed. She says, where are you going? He said, I've got to go back. Came back that night, and I spoke from this verse, and hit that word, whosoever. my colleague finished the message, the words of Joshua, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. And back to the hall in Rexdale in Toronto, and I could see there was a response in that young lad. I said, well, George, any more problems? No more problems. 8 o'clock, whosoever. 8:15, choose. I chose the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. The young lady said at the same meetings, a few years later, I tied the knot at their wedding. He's now an officer, a detective in the police force in Toronto. Whosoever believeth in him, notice that whosoever of deliverance shall not have it. The Lord Jesus again is the speaker. And he tells us that some people will be saved. Sad to say, others will not be saved because they have rejected the Lord Jesus. God says to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. God looked down from heaven. He saw the wickedness of the human race. Noah preached for 120 years. And there was an absolute disinterest in the message. And there was a diabolical display of evil. God says, this is it. Come, thou and all thy house into the ark. Only Noah and his family were saved in the ark. And the scripture says, that all on the dry land perish. Be assured, my friend, you will either be saved or you will perish. That is the language of the Lord Jesus. And tonight, he says, whosoever believeth shall not perish. What does it mean to believe? Just means simply to receive. To as many as receive him, to them give you the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Thank God for everyone in this chapel this evening that knows God and the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior. And he will be able to say for all eternity, the torment and the fire, mine eyes shall never see. Such is the greatness of God's salvation. In a second scripture, the Spirit and the bride say come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life. Thank God tonight for the probing of the Holy Spirit. He works night and day, warning men and women to flee from the wrath to come. 24 hours a day. But the scripture says, my spirit shall not always strive with men. And so there's a limit to his endurance. And tonight we must respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit says to you tonight, individually, come. And the bride says, come. Every genuine, yes, constitutes the bride. We pray continually for loved ones, for friends, for neighbors, that they might accept the gospel before it is too late. My friend, you don't realize what you are missing by not being saved. The joy is beyond human comprehension. Whosoever will,
let him take the water of life freely. Brings delight. It brings joy. The psalmist is happy as the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered, and to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. You want real joy, you come to the Lord Jesus. A man in Pennsylvania won $40 million on a lottery. He said it was the most miserable day in his life. Everything has fallen apart since he won that money in the lottery. You never find joy and satisfaction in the things of the world. Only true, genuine satisfaction and delight comes through the Lord Jesus. Up in Washington, D.C., was a young lady. She was a prostitute. And one day one of the brethren was down in business and he drew his car alongside the curb. Suddenly the door opened and in jumped this young lady. She thought he was a client. "Oh," he says, "I'm not one of these kind of people. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus." And he went to give her the simple gospel. "My dear, the Lord loved you. He died to save you. And he can take care of your sin." She broke down in tears. She says, "I'm absolutely desperate. I have a little girl with nowhere to live. And this is all that I can do." And gave her a few more encouragement from the gospel. Gave her some money. And he said, "I want you to go home to your little girl and I'll keep on praying for you." A few weeks later, he was downtown with his wife Isabel, saw the same young lady, honked the horn, and she came home. And she recognized him right away. Sat in the back seat of the car. Again she flowed tears of grief and hardship. Isabel, our friend Ralph, said to her, "Look, my dear, why don't you go home and get your little girl and you come and live with us?" She went, got the little girl, and they took her home. Gentleman dying with cancer, needed a home help. And this young lady, Carol Wrigley, went to help this man who was a Christian. Before he died, he pointed her to the Savior. She got baptized, and she's now in fellowship in the assembly in Silver Spring, Maryland. God always does things well. She found a husband in the assembly. I was there a year ago, speaking from Proverbs 31, about the virtuous woman, giving an application to the Church of God for all these transactions done by the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 was done in the absence of her husband. A picture of the bride of Christ, how we should function in the absence of the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus. Well, that girl could hardly keep her seat when I was talking about the Lord and talking about her face was shining with joy. The last night, she says, "Mr. Dougal, I just had a consultation with three specialists and they told me unless I get a liver transplant," she had been drinking vodka by the barrel. "Her liver was shot. Unless I get a transplant liver, I've only got 2 years to live." She says, "Isn't that wonderful? 2 more years to praise the Lord until I see him face to face." Pray, friends, that Carol Wrigley
will get a transplant for the sake of a little girl, and the husband she found in the assembly in Silver Spring, Maryland. The joy of God's salvation beaming in and through that sinner saved by precious blood. That whosoever of delight, and there's nothing to be compared with God's salvation and the fellowship of God's people, is only a foretaste of that greater joy, and he shall sit down in glory and share the blessings and the memories that we've enjoyed down here for all eternity. Nothing to be compared with God's people. I can say, after many, many years in Christ, as to the saints which are in the earth, the excellent, in whom is all my delight, the whosoever of delight, he the Spirit and the bride says come, and let him that is athirst come, and take the water of life here. Water speaks of satisfaction. Once again, my friend, you won't find satisfaction in the world. You sometimes sing, I tried the broken sister and Lord, and the waters failed. E'en as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I did. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy Lord Jesus found in me. Whosoever will. D.L. Moody says, the world is filled with two kinds of people. The whosoever wills, and the whosoever wants. Now, in what category are you going to? We challenge you in the name of the Lord Jesus. In what category are you in this chapel tonight? Are you with those who are willing, or those who want? Judas walked with the Lord Jesus for 3.5 years. He saw his miracles. He heard his wise counsel. He saw in him perfection. And yet he was one of the wolves. He chose to go to hell. Judas, by transgression, went to his own death. The whosoever of deliverance, and the whosoever of delight. Even Revelation chapter 20, we have the whosoever of destruction. Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There's a theory abroad today that there is not such a place as hell. Council of the Church of England just a few weeks ago announced the preaching has been medieval and has caused all kinds of mental problems by preaching about hell. And the great white throne, they say, is going to be annihilation. That's not what the scriptures say. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. God drew aside the curtain and gave John on the Isle of Patmos a preview of the final judgment day. Don't listen to what men say and their evil theories, but you listen and listen good to what the Word of God says. The Lord said there's a heaven to gain. And there's a hell to shun. And he spoke more about hell than he ever spoke about heaven. And I'm convinced, my friend, the Lord Jesus never spoke about hell. Without tears coursing down his cheeks. He knew the gravity of it all. And as Dr. Tory says, God has blockaded the road to hell with his love.
He'll do everything possible to keep a soul from going to hell. He blockades the road to hell with his love. He doesn't want you to go. He's prepared for the devil and his angels. But God drew a curtain aside to show John this final law court, the final assize. In the United States, there are 9 people on the Supreme Court. On God's Supreme Court, 1 man. God hath appointed the day in which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man. The man whom he hath ordained, the man Christ Jesus. God is indeed a righteous judge, and he will judge every man according to their work. There are degrees of punishment, just as there are degrees of glory for the Christian. Nevertheless, they will be in a lost eternity forever and ever. The language is shattering. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So the man in Luke 16, my friend, is in a preliminary condition. And the final phase of the judgment will not come until hell has vacated its territory and they stand before God in their old body. Then finally, cast into the lake. Of what? If Luke 16 is a preliminary condition, what will the ultimate be? Here is a man, and he says, I am tormented in this place. A place of unparalleled loneliness. Total isolation. Place of isolation. I am tormented in this place. A place of unparalleled loneliness. God's people are assured of the Lord's presence for all eternity. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And when Lazarus died, he got a special angelic escort and winged his way home to glory. The rich man in hell, he says, I am tormented. The place of unabated pain. God's people will get new bodies. The ungodly will get their old body back with its aches and its pains. No medication for relief. There'll be no bar rooms in hell. No drugs in hell. Total isolation. Have you ever been lonely? I'm sure you have. Many a time I've been lonely. 2 hours in the Atlantic Ocean in World War II, my ship torpedoed. Felt the loneliness. Massive heart attack at Man O' War Quay, all alone, no telephone. Loneliness. But I was assured there was one there. He says, I will take thee by the hand, Weymouth's translation, and never let you go. Down there, my friend, the place of unparalleled loneliness. And the place of the unbridgeable chasm, a great gulf. No way out. Settled. Doomed. For all eternity.
and the place of the undetached memory. Abraham said, "Son, remember. You have been so privileged here in Spanish Well. Over the many years, heard the faithful gospel preaching, the lives of godly people spoken volumes to you. There's no shortage of memory in heaven. They'll remember that every gospel message they ever heard. They will remember the pleas of the preacher. They'll remember the prayers of their fathers and mothers. Of all eternity. And the dead, small and great stand before him in their old body. And the final judgment is with him. Because be assured, before they go into the lake of fire, they'll bow the knee to the Lord Jesus. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. My friend, you will bow the knee to the Lord Jesus, either in time, and be with those who are willing, or you'll be compelled in eternity by compulsion when it is near. Whosoever's name was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I was out in Victoria, British Columbia, a couple of years ago. Lovely teenager, weeping at the back of the hall in Victoria. I said, "Can I help you, my dear?" "Oh, yes," she said. Took her aside with her half-sister, a deaf mute who got saved a few years before. And they went into the little room. Named Lisa. She was down on her knees beside me and the deaf mute. Another sister I took also who had cancer and hadn't long to live. She's with the Lord now. That little girl, she prayed, and I took a mental note of her prayer. "Lord, I am a sinner. Give me this everlasting life. Put my name in your book. And I'm looking forward to seeing my little sister again." My little sister died as a child. Looking forward to seeing my sister again. I believe every child that has not reached the years of accountability, they go home to glory when they die. As the Lord says in Matthew 18, "They behold my Father's face in glory, that up there shining in the presence of the Lord Jesus." He made sure that night that a name was written down in heaven. What about you? As I close, my friend, I appeal to you. Time is running out. This world cannot go on much longer in the present condition. I'm convinced God's patience is running out. And as it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, so said the Lord Jesus, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. He might come tonight. You're not saved. You will be lost. And lost. All eternity. And all the consternation. Loved ones gone. And you left behind. Don't leave the building tonight until you're absolutely sure that you are among the whosoever who are forgiven, whose names are written down. We can help you. I won't coerce you into anything. It's not my business. There are men here capable of helping you also. But there's urgency. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Be wise. Be kind to your soul tonight. Don't leave the building until you're numbered with the redeemed. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee again for being gathered in this building. We thank thee for singing the songs of Zion. We thank you for the jubilation that is ours in Christ. The father of hearts ache for loved ones still in the danger zone, still going on without the Savior. Oh, Father, somehow, someway, through thy Holy Spirit, reach these dear ones tonight. We've been praying for years for some, Father, and again, they're still not saved. Do a work tonight in the soul, that they'll go out of the building and join God's salvation amongst those whosoever that delights in the things of the Lord. Remember again those who are sick, we ask our Father, thou shalt touch their bodies. Be close to them, we pray, and give thee thanks in anticipation of further help in these meetings with dear saints here in Spanish world. We thank thee for them, and give thee thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Shall we sing in closing? In number 97. Wondrous love of Jesus, spread the news around. Pardon freely offered, what a joyful sound. Jesus, loving Savior, died to set me free. Oh, that blessed whosoever that means me. Number 97, and the meeting will be over.